If you are a new military spouse, fiance, or girlfriend, then this podcast episode is just for you, especially if you have a deployment or like some kind of long training where your service member is going to be going away for the first time. This is the perfect episode. I guess Madison and I talk about feeling overwhelmed and underprepared for a loved one's deployment and give you some really good tips for if you're struggling to find joy and purpose during the challenging situations that come with a deployment. And then we just have some really good practical advice and inspiration to help you through this time. I can't wait for you to listen. So let's get to the episode. Welcome to the Waiting Warriors podcast, the podcast for military spouses and significant others who are committed to their service member and want to make the most out of this unique military lifestyle. It's for genuine and honest conversations about topics normally glossed over or things that we just don't talk about for those who want to know actionable and tactical things so that they can really thrive. I'm your host, Michelle Bowler, military spouse of almost 12 years. Let's get to the interview. Hey, Waiting Warriors, welcome to another podcast. This week, I think you're going to like this topic, especially if you are a new military spouse, if you are approaching your first deployment. This one is for you. We're going to talk about how to thrive during your first deployment. And we have Madison Green here joining us. Welcome to the show, Madison.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So happy to do it. And I'm really excited about this topic because I think sometimes as you get more seasoned, quote unquote, as a military spouse, it's like when you're talking, at least this is what I've heard. Some people talk about it as, oh, you just got to get through this one and you'll learn as you go and it'll get better, as if it's, I don't even know, like a test that you need to just get a C or a D on so you can see what you need to learn. Do you know what I mean? Let's see where you are in the different principles. Mm-hmm. But I am more in your boat of thriving as possible. I think mm-hmm. we just need to learn how to do it. And so to start with this, let's like start on the same level. So everybody listening, we're on the same level. What does thriving mean to you?
Good question. I think thriving is making the most of where you're at. And in our context, making the most of what the military throws your way, making the most of the deployments that are going to be coming about in your life. We're currently at 29 Palms. And when my husband went on his first deployment, we were here. And so I went through a deployment in the middle of the desert and I wanted to find a way to thrive during it. I wanted to thrive in the middle of the desert through my husband's first deployment. And I can say now being on the other side of it, that it is very possible.
Mm-hmm. Which just made me realize I forgot to say, you're in Marine Corps, which if, I don't know if other branches, how much other branches talk. I know about 29 Palms because mm-hmm. I'm very much so constantly talking to people on the internet and hearing, and I have other military spouse friends that are online that share about 29 Palms. That's like the one that Marine Corps is least excited about.
It definitely gets a bad rap for sure. 29 Palms is like the Fort Irwin of the Army.
Yeah.
There's an expression commonly said about 29 Palms that you cry when you get here, but you also cry when you have to
leave.
So it really comes down to the community here. We have to be very tight knit and you have to get involved if you want to thrive here because it's so remote and isolated and in the middle of nowhere. So,
yeah. I remember the first time I heard about 29 Palms, somebody had said something in a research show. I was like, it's in California. Like, where is it? And I'm thinking, I grew up near Camp Pendleton. I'm like, well, Camp Pendleton is like, on the beach, it's huge. So it's also like inland, right? So I know a lot of people live inland or whatever, but like you're max an hour away from the beach. Like you're by everything. But then I looked on the map, I'm like, oh, you're literally in the middle of the desert of the state.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, like, part is a 40-minute commute to get to. There's another expression, you're going down the hill, which means you're making the hour and a half commute to Palm Springs to go to Target or Chick-fil-A. Civilization. So you do have to be willing to commute out here. And if there's like a new military spouse listening to this, maybe they have orders to come to 29. As long as you are willing to make the commute, like Vegas is 3 hours this way, you have Camp Pendleton and the coast, San Diego, 3 hours this way. So if you're willing to make the drive, you can get to civilization.
Yeah. And we have another episode. Oh, it was forever ago, but with Yvonne Combs. Look, if you guys are like, if you're in that kind of situation where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to a place where I'm not excited about, look up that episode, because she was going to Irwin. So it's very similar, just different branch. And she has some really good advice. But okay, so deployment. So thriving is making the most of it. What did that look like for you, both in like your successes and what kind of, did you try anything that like didn't, you're like, oh, this is not actually working?
Mm-hmm. So when I share about my deployment experience, I will give a little disclaimer that I did not have my daughter when I went through deployment. So mm-hmm. It was little old me in the desert. So I am kind of speaking from someone who doesn't have kids while going through a deployment. First and foremost, what helped me to thrive was I worked for the USO at the time. And so I really just dove into my work and really focused on my career during the 6 months my husband was deployed. I found a way for me to stay busy, to stay productive, for me to contribute in a way that I felt was valuable. And so for me, I was able to find that job. I actually worked out with great timing that I got hired a couple months before he deployed. So I was really in the swing of things by the time that he left. And that mm-hmm. is really, I credit the job for really getting me through my first deployment, because every day I had to focus on my work and focus on planning events for our community. So if someone listening and they're about to go through their first deployment, the first thing I would encourage them to do is, how are you going to spend the time? Are you going mm-hmm. to find a part-time job, a full-time job? What do you want to really dive into, and how do you want to spend your time while your service member is away? And that doesn't have to look like completely getting a full-time job. If you do have children, maybe you want to start taking some school classes in the morning or the evening, or you want to start working towards a certificate, start doing like some small things of, you want to use this time in a productive, valuable way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something that I have really grown to know in a very deep way is, for me personally, the term staying busy isn't helpful, because then I get burnout and I overdo it. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not like attacking you, first of all, just like developing it mm-hmm. is, for the words that help me, because I think everybody, different things help, right? Yeah. But like same concept, but like different words are, how can I insert joy and be anxiously engaged in something while he's gone? Mm-hmm. Because what doesn't work is waking up in the morning and not knowing what you're going to do for the day and then sitting around all day. Mm-hmm. Trust me, it doesn't work. It gets real dark real fast and mm-hmm. it gets very lonely. And so it's not that you can't or you shouldn't ever have downtime, but you need to insert joy. You need to have something that you are looking forward to and something that like gets you excited, because during the deployment, there's going to be plenty of things that are going to knock you down. Your car is going to break. Something in the house is going to break. If you have kids, I promise you, within the week, they are all going to get sick. Even if it's just a TV, it just will happen. I really have some questions for God about that when I get up there. Mm-hmm. What's the deal here? Why is this how it works out? But I'm not fighting anymore. But if you can be intentional and be like, how am I going to insert things that lift me up? What am I going to be intentional about that? Mm-hmm. For me, that helps, just because I'm the type of personality that like, there is no balance in my life. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. I understand where you're coming from. If the term staying busy does not resonate with someone, I like what you said about be intentional, find a valuable, constructive way of how you want to spend your time. And that's going to look different for everyone, because someone might not want to go get a full-time job with the USO to help them through a deployment. That's totally fine. But what do you want to do so that you can look back on these 6, 8 year after this deployment and be like, I'm proud of myself for our family getting through that.
Yeah. Because I even had a friend, and watching her is one of the reasons why I kind of was like, oh, maybe I need to change this word for me with staying busy. Was she had 2 kids at the time of this deployment that I was watching her go through, but they were younger, I think 4 and 2. And so she actually was talking to me one day. She's like, you know what? Everybody says stay busy, but I'm actually doing the opposite. She was starting to say no. And she was inserting things that like weren't busy, I guess, like what we think of. She's like, I am getting hooked on books and I'm being intentional about, I really want to read again. Cause she, when you're in the baby phase, it's like, oh my gosh,
you don't have time.
Like, you don't like casually read a book. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's like, I haven't read a book in 3 years and I just want to read a book. I was like, that's amazing. And then she's like, yeah. And I want to, what did she learn? She learned how to cook something, but it was like, I think it was just like sandwich bread, not even like sourdough. It was before the sourdough craze. I just want to learn how to make like bread and cinnamon rolls. So like once a week, I'm going to whip out a recipe and try something new. And it's okay. That's none of the things that like I was thinking.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I love it. She set some small sustainable goals for herself. Yeah. I think that's great. Set some goals for yourself to work towards.
And it's like, it's what made her excited and her happy. And I thoroughly enjoyed the cinnamon rolls. If any other of my friends want to do, that's wonderful. I fully support that, especially if you live by me. I just loved watching her like have moments where she lit up. And I also loved that she did this cinnamon roll and like the bread thing on Sundays, which were at first the hardest days for her, because that was like, typically she would go to church and she would have family time with her husband. And for some reason that like sitting at church alone with your babies, it's like one of the hardest things. I don't know if anybody else does that, but for me, that's been super hard. For her, it was super hard. So she's like, okay, I'm going to put this thing that like makes me excited right in the hard day. I've loved that idea ever since I watched that. But
yes. And deployment is so unique and so individual for everyone. It's going to look different, especially like I've mentioned the different seasons of life. For example, when I went through deployment, I didn't have my daughter, but the next deployment, I will have a daughter. So our second deployment is going to look very different than the first, because I have a child in the picture now. And so I love that she was able to find a way. Like if Sundays is hard, in my unique individual way, I'm going to find a way to help Sundays be a better day for our family. I look back on when my husband went to boot camp, and on Sundays, he recorded audio messages for me to listen to before he left. And Sunday was actually a hard day for me. And so as a way to kind of celebrate that I made it through another week, time for another week ahead, I would listen to that audio message. So anyone find a way during the hard day. How do you make it a little bit better and insert joy like you talked about into your day?
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Was there anything that you tried that just for you didn't seem to, and maybe it's not even, oh, well, that definitely didn't help, but it's just not my thing.
That's a good question. To be honest, I really felt prepared for our first deployment. And what I credit to that is when my husband went to boot camp, the world shut down. The pandemic started.
Oh, that's a fun time.
Yes, it was quite something, because we anticipated him being gone just 13 weeks for boot camp. I didn't see my husband for 5 months. So it ended up being boot camp turned into a little, let's get you ready for deployment in advance.
Yeah.
So he was away for 5 months. And then when we reunited in the desert, he deployed like a year later or something like that. I really felt ready for the 6 month deployment, because I'm like, we've done 5 months apart before. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but we have, for the Marine Corps, deployment readiness coordinators, DRCs, for deploying battalions. And our DRC did a lot of prep classes that I would really encourage new military spouses to go to, especially Marine Corps spouses, like connect with your DRC. They are such a valuable resource and have so much knowledge. But they were, our DRC did all these prep classes about how to get your finances in order, how to handle the legal things like power of attorneys. And because I went to all those prep classes, that really helped me feel prepared for deployment. So when you ask about, did I have anything that didn't work? Or to be honest, I really had a good deployment experience. And I really credit the length of time experience I had in our DRC and those prep classes for that.
I think you bring up a really interesting point at how powerful it is to feel prepared.
Yes.
And feel, empowered versus like clueless is like the only word I can ever think of. I need to figure out a new word. Maybe, yeah, naive of just if something happens, I don't know. Or if you're in like conversations at coffees or whatever, and somebody says, oh yeah, we got our PAO. And you're like, I don't know what that acronym is. And then you like start to feel, you know what I mean? Like when you don't have those moments and you're like, okay, we have our budget, we have the PAO, I have all the like Red Cross numbers and his unit and a sticky note or that fun. Do they still do the magnet?
Did
you ever get one?
Your base has a magnet.
Yeah. You get like a magnet with write your husband's name and their unit and the phone number and all that kind of stuff. So you can just look at it and get it right there. Mm-hmm. When you have that like foundation, it's, oh, okay. If something happens, I at least have the paper that I need. Do you know what I mean? Like I can at least, legal's not going to get mad at me if I try to do something with the housing because whatever happened and I got to get stuff done. Do you know what I mean?
I think
you have two solid feet.
I think what you're saying about feeling empowered and even going back to the end result at the end of this deployment, how do you want to feel about yourself? For me, I wanted to be proud of myself, like proud that I got through a 6 month deployment in the middle of the desert when my family's all the way in Virginia. Here I am in California. I determined for myself that I wanted to stay in the desert. Now, some people do choose to go home for deployment that I don't want to stay at the duty station without my service member. And it, again, it's that very unique decision, especially if children are in the picture, that's completely different. For me, I determined I wanted to stay in the desert and get through this deployment. And I'm really thankful that I did because of how it helped me to grow as an individual, helped me to grow as a military spouse. But that prep work was so important in me feeling empowered before he left that I knew I had the DRC, that I had these deployment battle buddies going through it with me, that we were all in the desert. We were all going through this experience together. There's this one friend in particular, and we went through the deployment together, and every Sunday we would go to church together. And she was really one of my deployment battle buddies that we would get through the experience together with. And even people talk about that. You just have to find that one person. Like you don't have to, sure, if you have a group of 10, 20 girlfriends going through the experience with you, that's great. But if you can just find that one, I was even talking with another military spouse, and she mentioned for their kids, they were deployment battle buddies, and they would like swap kids. Hey, I need a night off. Mm-hmm. Now you need a night off. So let's swap kids or do pizza dinner together. So if you can just find that one person in a similar season of life as you are to help get you through the experience, that will really help.
Yeah, I totally agree. The amount of times, it's not all rules are out the window when dad is gone, but like things run different. We don't do dinners with friends like fairly often. We'll do a few a month, but if dad's gone, it's like, oh, we're at least once a week having somebody over for dinner, or we're going over, or like we're in Hawaii, so we get to cheat right now. But oh yeah, we're definitely going and doing dinner at the beach. And we're not coming home to settle down until 7 p.m. Whereas normally we're home when daddy's trying to get home and we can have family time. And now family has become your people that you have found. I'm curious, how did you find your battle buddies? Was it at the DRC meetings?
So honestly, a lot of the deployment battle buddies I did meet within my service members, like home unit. And if a new military spouse is listening and they are moving to their first duty station, I encourage you to start with your service member's home parent unit. Go there, go to the coffee socials, go to those prep classes, because you're going to be around spouses who are going through the same experience that you are. And even more, if you can find a spouse whose service member is in the same company as yours, so they're going to the field at the same time, they have the same work schedule, like that's even better. So yes, definitely within my service members unit is really where I got connected. However, also my job at the USO really connected me just across the installation. So I was also able to make friends outside of the unit as well. And there are honestly at 29 Palms, there's almost too much good stuff to choose from. Like people, it really does get a bad rap, but when you are here, there is so much to choose from. Your schedule could be so full, and there's a lot that you can get involved with. That way you're able to stay busy or stay productive, find valuable ways to stay connected while your service members
are. Yeah. It's funny to me, looking back at how like the different duty stations, because it's like Army, like none of our bases are in civilization, really. It's like the joke of you're lucky if you have a Walmart that's like actually in the same town. Do you know what I mean? Or Target for sure. No, you like you are queen bee if you have Target in the same town. You're always gonna have to drive to Target and all that kind of stuff. And it's not that it's as far and as isolated as like 29 Palms and Irwin, but it's never, oh yeah, what a lovely place to live. And do you know what I mean?
The military likes to challenge us spouses, definitely.
They like cheap places that nobody else wants to be.
Yes.
But as we were like entering active duty, I was like, I don't want to go live in the middle of nowhere necessarily. And I had this attitude of just, oh, but I'm realizing like most bases, they actually, and granted, like with COVID, things are different. It was, I'm not going to lie, it was even more stuff planned before, but it is ramping up again. But it's, man, you've got to get plugged into the MWR and the USO at your spot and the ACS if you need help with anything. And you need to get plugged in with a local church group or the on-post chapel. You need to get plugged in with the, even now, like the housing here where we are in Hawaii, like housing has been hosting play groups that I just found out. When I saw like a dog one, and I'm just now finding out like there's volleyball that's happening, like a, oh, there's a term for it. And 16-year-old me is so disappointed. I don't know. But like an open play volleyball.
Oh, okay.
Like for volleyball, like scrimmage type, but you cycle in. Anyways, but my point is you can be bored and hate living on a post or by a military base. Or you can try new things and just get plugged in. But if you think there's nothing going on your duty station, I would challenge you to, you need to look at their different pages or go into their buildings. Actually, most of them are not super great at posting and writing on Facebook or anything, right? Like marketing is not the military's forte.
It is not.
Some of them are getting better. But if you're bored, I think that's on you. And that's what I'm going to lovingly put on everybody.
Absolutely. I love that. I think kind of boredom is a choice. There are ways to get involved, get actively involved in your community, and you're going to be better for it. That way you're not miserable, hating life, crying in your room the whole time that your service member is away. There are ways to get connected and plugged into your community. Does that mean that you're going to always have good days? No, you're going to have some hard, sucky days. Person you love more than anyone in the world is away for 6 months across the ocean on the other side of the world. Some days are going to suck. There are going to be things that happen. Murphy's Law is going to take effect. But how do we find joy amidst that? How do we continue to thrive and make the most of the situation we find ourselves in? And I think reminding yourself that this is temporary. Your service member will be home soon. In the thick of it, yeah, it feels like every single day is taking forever. Will we ever reach the end? You will. And then you look back, and I look back on the 6 months my husband was deployed. I'm like, wow, that went by in a blink of an eye in the grand scheme of our life together. That 5 months he was away for boot camp, blink of an eye when I look back on it. So it really will fly by in the grand scheme of things. And it is just a temporary separation.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Last question. It's my favorite question, selfishly, totally unbiasedly. What is your key to thriving that you want to share with your fellow waiting warriors?
Get your mindset right. If you can look at this with a healthier perspective, look at this differently than what everyone else is telling you. For example, going to 29 Palms, this is the worst duty station we could ever be sent to. This is the worst duty station of the Marine Corps. No, I'm gonna find ways to thrive in the middle of the desert. I'm gonna make a home wherever the Marine Corps sends us. My husband and I are going to grow closer because we're at such a remote, isolated duty station. How can you change your perspective, change your thinking on this? Because I think your mindset, whether it's military life or life outside the military, this is either an asset or a liability to your success in life. So if you can get this right, you're going to be able to have a much better experience in the military life or outside of it.
I love that line. This is either an asset or a liability. And that is spot on. It makes me think of is it Henry Ford? That's like, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. That is exactly true with military spouse life. If you think this deployment is going to suck, I promise you it will suck. Mm-hmm. Promise you. You'll find so much evidence. If you think that this deployment is going to be fun and you are going to grow and whatever goal you want, like I've set a goal that like, well, my husband is gone, I'm going to grow closer to him. It's like, let's try that out. That seems like a fun experiment to try. Let's test it. And it worked. That's not what 10 years ago, Michelle would have thought, but he's gone, right? But it's possible because I thought I could. So I found things that got me that result because that's what I wanted. And that's what I decided was going to happen. But I need to write that one down. Your mind is either a liability or an asset. And hopefully we can make it work. Let's not have something attached to us that's like a liability and destructive, right? So mindset. I love that.
Mindset.
That's a good one. It's a good one-liner. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Madison. If somebody wants to connect with you, what is the best way for them to do that?
Yes. So I'm here on Instagram at Madison Green Coaching. I recently relaunched my coaching business after taking time off to work for the USO. Really, I'm focused on helping new young Marine Corps spouses. So if that's someone listening, I encourage you to come on over and see what I'm all about.
Awesome. We'll put that link in the show notes so it's easy for everybody to find Madison. Thanks for coming on the show. Awesome. Thanks for sharing your experience. And I'm like still dumbfounded about that quote. I really like that one. Like, because I think that's a good, not to get gross, I think that's like a good checkpoint for everybody. It's my mind being like, is what I'm thinking, am I being a liability for myself? That's silly. Let's change some things. But love it. Everybody, go say hi to Madison. Check her out. It's always fun to have another person to brighten up your Instagram feed, to encourage you. But even if you're not going through a deployment, oh my goodness, please find military spouses that are encouraging online because, military life, guys, it's a roller coaster. I will just say that. It is a fun party. And parties get a little crazy sometimes, but just fill your life with encouraging people is all I can say. It makes a difference. Thanks for coming on the show, Madison. And Waiting Warriors, remember, just because it's hard doesn't mean it has to be miserable. And you can keep it from being miserable by using your mind as an asset and not a liability. Keep those mindsets, get a strong foundation for when you're going through deployments, and keep the goal as thriving, and you'll get there. Thanks again, Madison. Have a good week, guys.
See ya.
All of you Waiting Warriors know that life as a military spouse can be unpredictable. So it's easy to think that when it comes to our aspirations and dreams, you have to wait. But it doesn't have to be like that. National University is a veteran-founded nonprofit university that is firmly committed to helping military dependents. Not only are their programs flexible so you can time your assignments around things like deployments, PCSs, all the other crazy things, they have a scholarship just for military spouses. Use the link in the podcast summary or over on my Instagram bio to learn more about the Whisper Military Spouse Scholarship and the other options they have for tuition reduction for military spouses that could result in zero out-of-pocket educational costs at National University.